This is Digital Story Podcast number 876, January 3rd, 2023. Today's theme is Shoring Up My Backup System. I'm Derek Story. In last week's show, I discussed getting what I needed instead of what I wanted. And now I've done exactly what I should have done, which is shore up my backup system with the Synology DiskStation DS220 Plus. It's a mouthful, I know, but we'll explain. This week I talk about how I have this $299 workstation set up, how it's working for my photography, and a few tips along the way. I hope you enjoy the show. So I've made tremendous progress since we last talked. And I feel pretty good about it. So I had this gap in my backup system. Now, just to review, I use the terms backup and archive for different things. Archive is something that goes in storage, either in the cloud or on some sort of backup array that I don't really need quick access to. I just need to be able to get to it if I need it. My backup stuff is more immediate. It's something that I need to be able to write to right away. Let's say when I'm at some milestone in a project and I want to back up the work that I've done to that point, so if anything goes wrong, I don't have to start all over again. Or when I finish a project, I want to back it up right away so that if something goes wrong, I don't lose it altogether if it's only on my computer. By the same token, I need to be able to get to it quickly because these are files that are probably in my working queue. So let's say that a few months later, I do the same workshop again and I've backed up all the project files. I don't want to have to go digging through the archive system to get them. I want them just like right here and open them up and get the next workshop ready to go. So it's that sort of thing. Now, over time, of course, these files that are on the backup system go into archive, go into separate locations, you know, all that stuff that we've talked about in the past. But my real problem was the immediate backup system, and that's what I had to solve. I had a pretty good setup before, a two-disc array, but this one's even better. This one's even better. It's more versatile, it's faster, and hopefully it's more reliable because my elastic enclosure just died. Let's get into the details of this. So I mentioned what I got last week, and I have a link to everything in the show notes. And by the way, if you decide to get one of these, please use the links in the show notes because, you know, that is an affiliate link that actually helps me out with the work that I do. Okay, so here we go. So I'm using the Synology, you know, that's S-Y-N-O-L-O-G-Y, DiskStation DS220 Plus. Now, they make all sorts of stuff, and this is actually one of their more affordable units. Maybe it's in the lower range of mid-range, something like that. It's two bays, and it's network accessible, right? In fact, that's the way that you use it. Now, it does have two USB 3.0 ports, and you know, I tested them to make sure they were fine and all that, but mainly for, like, if you want to connect a drive to it and just press a button and have that entire drive backed up, you know, it's nice for stuff like that. But that's not the way that I connect them to my computers where I'm going to use them back and forth for read-write. So for connecting to the computers, I use 2 gigabyte Ethernet ports that are on the back of the unit. And they're terrific, you know, and they use the standard RJ45 jack. And they even give you 2 Ethernet cords with those jacks on them. This is really kind of neat, and this is where the versatility comes in. Now, when I talked about this system last week, I didn't go into a lot of detail, and I had a couple folks write me and say, well, that's kind of an interesting choice. Why didn't you get something with a faster I/O? You know, even though the read-write speeds on these are quite decent, and I'm going to go into more detail in a minute. And really what I wanted was versatility. Because the thing about this unit is that I can plug it in to my router, then it's available to all the devices on the local area network. And so it can be just downstairs next to the router, and then upstairs, all the computers can access it. Or if I'm working downstairs, I can get to it that way, all that. And you do have the option with their software to connect to it via the internet as well. You can set that up so you can see it outside the local area network. So you have that option. Or you can do what I'm doing right now, which is I have it up here at my workstation upstairs where I do my Zoom calls, I do my printing, I do the podcast recording, I do all sorts of stuff up here. And then I plug it into, on the Mac, for example, the iMac, it has an Ethernet port on the back. So I can just plug it Ethernet port to Ethernet port and then just connect to server, just use the connect to server command and get to it and do read, write and all that kind of stuff. And the reason why for me this time around, I wanted to go with something like that was before I just had a traditional hard drive that you plug into one computer and then they talk to each other. And then if I wanted to plug it into a different computer or back up a different computer, then I had to dismount it from the one computer and then make sure that I had the right jacks and everything and then plug it into the other computer and then access it that way. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but compared to what I'm doing now, it was definitely more cumbersome. For example, right now, I have it running up here, and I have it plugged in to the iMac with Ethernet LAN port 1, and I have it plugged into my MacBook Pro with Ethernet LAN port 2, and it's there on both of them, have them both, you know, talking to it. So it's just a lot easier. And then if I wanted to plug a different computer in, I just pull out the jack here on the MacBook Pro and plug that jack into, you know, whatever computer I want to use. And the thing just keeps running. I don't have to shut it down and start it up. I don't have to unmount and mount. You know, it's just kind of a cooler way to work. And so that's why, for those of you who are wondering why I went with something like this instead of just like a traditional Thunderbolt, you know, plug it in and just go screaming down the highway. That's why I wanted the versatility. That's what this thing, and so it is the DS220 Plus Synology disk station that I'm using. And then I just put a pair of 8 terabyte WD Red Plus drives in there. They're very nice. Allegedly, they're very robust. And I'm using a RAID 1. Now, I had all sorts of RAID options. You have RAID 0, RAID 1, JBOD, and then they have their own Synology hybrid RAID system, although I think you need more than 2 ports for that, or more than 2 disk bays for that. So I'm just using standard old RAID 1, super reliable. In other words, it writes the same thing to each disk in the workstation. So they mirror each other, and I'm very comfortable with that. So I basically have 8 terabytes of total storage, but everything is duplicated there in the workstation. Alrighty. So that's kind of the setup. Now I can, for instance, put a Capture One catalog on this. I have many of them on there already. I've been setting this thing up all week. And I could read that catalog from either my MacBook Pro or my iMac, not at the same time, although I haven't tested that, but I'm just like almost certainly positive, not at the same time. I would have to close it on one and then open it on the other, but I don't have to dismount and I don't have to do any of the other stuff. I just can't have, to my knowledge, that catalog running at the same time on both separate machines. Now, there is this weird little thing, and I want to tell Capture One users about it right now before I forget, called Write Lock. What they do sometimes, and I don't know how this gets applied, but a catalog gets locked. You don't lock it. Capture One decides to lock it for some reason. And then when you try to read it on a different computer, that same catalog, it says, no, the other guy's using it. You can't get to it. And it can really drive you crazy if you don't know what's going on there. Now, I had it happen once while I was setting this up to one catalog, but I already knew about it. If you have a Capture One catalog, it's basically a package, right? So you can open, you can see in the package contents, you right click on it and go, you know, show package contents, and you'll see in there. In fact, let me see, I think I got a picture of it right here. I want to make sure I call it the right thing. You'll see a little .exec file called write lock. That's the thing that's keeping you from opening it, and that's inside the package, right? So all you have to do is open up the package, right click on it, show package contents, delete that write lock file, close it all back up, and then try again and it will open up. All right. So, and you know, that's something that you might think your system is broken, right? You know, you've got two computers plugged into your, you know, workstation and everything's working and stuff. You go, how cool, I can just have the catalog live on the workstation and I can get to it from this computer, or I can get to it from that computer and all that. And then you get that message and you're all bummed out, right? Like you did something wrong. No, you didn't do anything wrong. This is just this weird thing that happens. And I believe once you get rid of the write lock once, it'll stay away. It's not something you have to do every time. Like I said, I had to do it for one of my catalogs. I haven't had to futz around with it again. So I just wanted to mention that before I forgot. In case you run into that, it's not anything that you did wrong in setting up your little local area network here. It's just a weird thing that happens with Capture One catalogs. Okay. All right. So let's move on here. I want to give you some of the reasons why I like this particular solution. It's good value for the money. It's a $299 workstation, and it has a lot of features. It has a good processor in there. It has built-in RAM. It's really intelligent, and it has, you know, two LAN lines, which is kind of neat. So I can run it on my network, but I don't have to. You know, I could plug it directly into the router, as I mentioned, and then I'd have all of those options. Or I could just have it next to my computer, use the Ethernet cable, just plug it straight into the computer, and then have another Ethernet cable, which they give you two, and plug it into another computer and just have your little local area network right here. It has all sorts of different protocols that it supports. It supports just about everything. I think I'm using, I think my Macs use Samba to connect to it, but I mean, I'll just give you some of them here. It has Samba, CAL, DAV, FTP, HTTP, HTTPS, NFS, Samba 3.0, SNMP, and iSCSI. So it has all sorts of different protocols. Chances are extremely good, regardless of Windows or Mac, that you're going to be able to connect to this thing in just a few seconds. Okay. And by the way, you know, the way that I do that is I just use the old connect to server command, you know, which on the Mac, you go up at the top, the go menu, connect to server, right? And then I usually just hit browse. You can also enter the server name in there and just hit connect, and it'll do most of the time. Or you can hit the browse button and it'll show up there, and you just connect to it that way. So it's super easy. You should not have any problems at all connecting to server. Once you do, then you know, you get the little shared disk icon on your desktop, right? And you know, this behaves like any other drive at all at that point. And then another little tip that I do is in the sidebar, you know, when on my Finder windows on a Mac in sidebar, I just add network to the sidebar. And so then that way I just can click on network and I can always see it there as well. And so once you do that first connection, it's pretty easy peasy to get to. And like I said, you don't have to disconnect from one computer in order to connect it to another computer, something that I really enjoy. I mentioned the different RAID options, RAID 0, you know, RAID 1, all that. The read-write speeds are decent, right? You know, and this is, I think, something that some folks question me on. Why didn't you go with something faster I/O? But this guy reads up to 225 megabytes per second and writes up to 192 megabytes per second. So not the fastest in the world, not the slowest in the world, somewhere there in the middle. But when you're just copying these big files like I've been doing, it's fine. You know, I can open up a big Capture One Pro catalog that's on the disk station and work on it on the computer. By the way, I don't have any M1 computers yet. Still waiting for that, the right M1 to come along, or M2 in my case. So I'm using all Intel computers. I can see when Capture One, when I'm working off the disk drive, in Capture One, you can see the activity wheel. You know, you have a little activity wheel spinning there. You can see that it's spinning a lot. In other words, so it's working in order for you to do your work. It's not just like, boom, I have all this thing cached in memory and bang, I'm going to show it to you instantly. But and the workflow isn't as fast, you know, when you're editing as it is when you're, you know, on the local drive of your computer, especially if it's an SSD drive, which chances are very good that it is. But it's good. And then when you're doing other things like browsing and all that stuff, it's just fine. Generally speaking, I would say I wouldn't want to work off the networked drive all the time. But for older catalogs that I want to pull up a picture, clean it up a bit, and then export it out and send it to a client or whatever, absolutely fine. It works great. So the I/O is fast enough for what I need to do, especially, you know, with the trade-off of having extra versatility. And then finally, it's just easy to use. So the software is terrific. It's easy to set up. It's easy to maintain its admin software and the way that they design the UI. You know, they break it up into all these little different goodies. I really like the software a lot, and I didn't find setup a problem or maintenance a problem at all. And you can configure the drive pretty much to anything that you want. And if you're putting it on the router and you want to set it up so you can access it via the internet, then they have apps, you know, for both Android and iOS. And they have a Quick Connect protocol that allows you to get to it pretty fast, all that kind of stuff. So I would say the software is excellent with this particular unit. Good stuff indeed. Yeah, so currently I have Intel iMac and Intel MacBook Pro plugged in, running Ventura. Everything is just fine. The one thing, if you have a laptop computer and you don't have an Ethernet port built in, which chances are pretty good unless you have a really old laptop computer. I guess there are some new ones that have a whole bunch of ports too, so I shouldn't say that. I have just this little $16 adapter. It's a Uni RJ45, the USB-C Thunderbolt adapter. I got it on Amazon. I have a link to it in the show notes. And that's what I'm using with the MacBook Pro, and it works fantastic. Yeah, it works fantastic. And I just leave it connected to the Ethernet cable, and then whatever computer I'm using, I just plug it right in and off to the races you go. So all of that is really terrific. No problems at all. Bottom line on this setup, if you're looking for this sort of intermediate RAID 2-disk solution, you don't want to spend a ton of money. It's easy to use. It's relatively fast. You can have multiple computers connected to it simultaneously. I can put it on the network. And it just solved my problem beautifully. I really like it a lot. It's a Synology Disk Station DS220 Plus. I bought what I needed, but now that I have it, I kind of like it. 52 Frames Weekly Photo Challenge. Improve your photography 1 week at a time. And you can read this entire article on fstoppers.com. I thought since it's the start of the year, it'd be kind of fun to talk about the site. I'll read you what they say here in the article, and then I'll talk just a hair about it It's pretty self-explanatory. Make 2023 a year of creative breakthrough. We all know the key to getting better is consistency. Doing something over and over again will eventually make you better at anything. 52 Frames is a photography community that encourages you to improve by prioritizing consistency over perfection of photo every week for a year. Photography, like any other skill, requires practice. It's like going to the gym. You need a training plan with clear goals and ways to achieve them. All right, so then, you know, it kind of goes on. He talks a lot about this, but let me get to the kind of the bottom line on this. Each week, 52 Frames issues a challenge, which often is a new opportunity to explore outside your comfort zone and learn something new. The challenges may be centered around a technique, like a principle of composition, or maybe something more creative and story-driven, like red. Levitation Week inspired members to learn layer masking in Photoshop. Fast Shutter Speed Week was an opportunity to capture fast-moving subjects and learn how to work your shutter controls. One challenge that stood out to me personally was Portrait of a Stranger. Being a studio photography, I am mostly comfortable with my subjects. In short, they know why they are there, and I simply need to photograph them. Going out to the street and asking a stranger to take their photograph is a whole different ball game. So I think you have the idea on this. And I went over to the site, the 52 Frame site, and looked around, and it actually looks pretty fun. It looks kind of neat. I haven't done it myself. I have had people tell me about it, and they seem to have a good experience. And, you know, they have a little tally board on the side there. If, you know, people who've got streaks going, they have the assignments. It's a nicely designed site. So if that's something you're interested in, and again, we're at the start of the year, and you go, hey, you know what, 2023, one of the things I want to do is participate in something like this, where I do a picture assignment a week, and this might be a place to check out. So take a look at it. It's 52 Frames. Have a link to the article in the show notes, and the site itself is just the number 5, the number 2, frames. .com. Take a look and see what you think. The do's and don'ts of building a great portfolio. This is an article that's on PhotoFocus, PhotoFocus.com. And you can read the whole thing there. I have the show note. But let me just read you these without going into a ton of detail. I think they're kind of fun. So they start out with the don'ts. And we're talking about building a great portfolio. Don't show others work. Okay, I would totally agree with that. Don't show work made in workshops. Now, this is one that does come up quite a bit. It's particularly important when the workshop is a portrait workshop and the workshop facilitator has set up the lighting, they've hired the model, you know, all that kind of stuff. And all you really have to do is go there and shoot it. And I think that's why. Now, on like the physical workshops where we're out in the middle of somewhere, I think those are fine, to tell you the truth, because those are really your doing, your creation. In the case of my workshops, all I really did was get you there, and you've got to take it from there. So I think in that case, so it does depend on the workshop, but let the deciding factor be, you know, how involved were you in the creative setup of the photo? If not very much and you just came and shot it, then probably don't put it in your portfolio. Don't show the same subject twice, especially people. And then here are a few do's when creating your portfolio. Pick 20 photos, they say. They like that. Be cohesive. If you're trying to get hired to make pictures, the pictures you show should be related. Don't show cars, mountains, flowers, and fashion models in the same portfolio. Yeah. I think the glue that can hold different subjects together is your style, your approach. So if you have an approach to your photography and it shows through a variety of subjects, then I think it's okay to have a variety of subjects. Now, obviously, if you're showing your portfolio to get some kind of specific gig, then, you know, you want your subject material in that portfolio to speak to that gig. you know, if you're going to be shooting widgets, you don't want to show them, you know, a model portfolio, that kind of thing. Try to have the pictures hang together, I think, is, you know, what I would say. Another one they have, you know, show other people your shots. Get previews of your portfolio, you know, that kind of stuff. And keep it fresh. They go into all these points here. Levi Sim wrote this article. Levi is a good guy, and he's a good photographer, and he dispenses good advice. So if you're thinking about putting a portfolio together for some reason, or maybe just to have one around, this might be a nice little article to check out. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. Nimble Photographer newsletter every Thursday. We're having fun with it. There's a link to it in the show notes. Or you could just go to thenimblephotographer.com. There's a link to it there. It's free. It's fun. Having a blast with it. And I think you would enjoy it if you're not a subscriber already. A huge thanks to our Inner Circle members. We've got new members lately. Welcome aboard, new members. So happy to have you here. I tell you, every month this is getting better and more enjoyable for me. I think what happens is you get a certain amount of people, and there's like the 100th photographer kind of thing, where then after that, the activity just sort of goes up a notch, or the interest level, or, you know, the opinions, all that kind of stuff. I feel like we're there now, and it's only going to get more interesting. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, there's a tile, a Patreon tile, on all the pages of the Digital Story. Take a look at it. Click on that tile. Take a look at the site. See what you think. Make 2023 the year that you become an Inner Circle member. I have affiliate links in the show notes for this podcast. And if you're going to get something, you know, use those affiliate links, help support the show. And there's also tiles for B&H and Amazon on all the pages of Digital Story. If you just stop by there first, click on that tile, that'll take you over to B&H or Amazon, and then navigate to what you want. That also helps support the site. Some of you are doing that, and I so appreciate it. That adds up, honestly. All this stuff adds up. A big thanks to folks who are taking that extra step. And finally, a huge shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. These are the folks that have everything that you need, except for the printers, to make beautiful prints, photo projects, fine artwork. Boy, I tell you, they have the instruction, they have reviews, they have paper, they have the stuff that goes with the paper, like envelopes and stuff, and they have the expertise and the passion. They are just an invaluable resource for the Digital Story and for all the folks in our community. It's like we have our own printing expert available to us here at Digital Story. I'm really thankful to have them as a sponsor, and make 2023. Look at all these resolutions I'm giving. You don't need those other resolutions like, you know, lose 10 pounds or stop drinking beer. You don't need those. These are the resolutions you want. Make 2023 the year that you start printing your work and getting it in the hands of others so they can appreciate the wonderful artists that you are. Big thanks to Red River Paper. They have a rocking Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper and a tile on all the pages of Digital Story. Big thanks to them for supporting this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Boy, does it feel good to have my backup solution working the way I want it. Come back next week for more goodies. Until then, have a great start to the new year. Be creative. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.